Turn, if you will, in your Bibles. Boy, everybody has preached all around this scripture this morning. I tell you, Sunday school lesson was getting close one time, and Laura got close a while ago in four. Second Corinthians, a new man in the new year. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5, 17. Here's the words of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that as we start this new year, we have become new in Christ. And Lord, show us how we can be a new man in a new year. What are the things ahead we rejoice in, the blessings that you give us? We look back and count the blessings of the past. But Lord, we want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified in our life. And God, we give you all praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Okay, this is a time that everybody does what? Makes those silly resolutions. Tomorrow, we'll break those. Somebody might have made them New Year. You probably already broke them. I never could keep them because I was on do this or do that and never did get around to doing it. But you know what? The good news is that we don't have to stay the way we are. You know, we can change. We can become a new man for our new year. Life can be made over again through the transforming work of Christ Jesus in our life. The Bible says, all things, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. Paul spoke of this. God has done something for us in Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible says we are at enemies of God. In other words, we've sinned and we're separated from God. I'm going to miss that dear little girl over there more than I probably will Zach and Hank Young, because she's become my partner. And it's so pleasant to watch her come to me and just put up her arms wanting Granddaddy to pick her up. But you know what? I find out most of the time when she comes to me, she wants to look at the food. It's not me she comes to. She knows I'll give her some food or anything she wants. Well, you know, in Christ, we're separated. We're going to be separated this year. But in Christ, we're over here. God's over here. But he made a way that we could come to him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. You see, there's a division there. We chose to disobey God. We disobeyed God. Man did. Adam, Eve, he said, don't eat of the fruit. They ate of the fruit. There was a separation there, a division there. Sin is that division. It divides us between man and God. There's sin. But God so loved you this morning. And the good news is that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And Jesus bridged the gap between man on one side and God on the other. And he said, whosoever would come to him through Christ can become a new creation. Come new again. Reconciliation to God. You see, reconciliation is God bringing man to himself. And that's man's basic need in life, to be reconciled with God. In our thought, in our feelings, in our will. We need to find that perfect will of God for our life and get in on that this next year. And until we are at peace with God in our life, you can't have peace without Jesus Christ in your life. We're not going to get along with anyone else or even ourselves. And see, the fault is not God's, the fault is ours. For we disobeyed God. That separation came because of our disobedience. But in Christ, the Bible says, in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, it says, God bridges the gap. God reconciles. We are right with God when we come to Him through Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are here this morning and you're lost. You're just as lost as you can be. If you died right now, you would spend an eternity in hell. And the sad thing is, you may not even know that. You may not know you're lost. You're dead to the things of God. But the Holy Spirit, maybe today, is touching your life and saying, listen, I know there's a separation between me and God. I disobeyed Him. I disobeyed Him this week. Somebody told me not long back, we were talking to a young man and I, and he said, you know, preacher, I've tried religion. It doesn't work. And I'm thinking, yes, it don't work. I've tried that too. I don't want to try religion. I want you to try Jesus Christ. He works. He always works. Now, look at the three things about a transforming life in Jesus Christ. How you can be a new man for the new year. One, there's a broad application. It says, if any man, that means this morning, if you're here, you can become a new creation in Christ, a new person in Christ. If you're lost, if you don't know whether you're saved or not, any man, boy, girl, man or woman, you can be saved this morning. You can be reconciled to God. You see, the love of God reaches out to all people, not just us, but to everybody in this town. Everyone. I love to, last week, we celebrated here at our Christmas time, and we talked about Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And the angel of the Lord came and announced that Jesus Christ's birth. And he said, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, God brings joy to our life. God brings things that are good to our life. All people. And last week, I believe it was, I was talking about, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. Everyone, God wants to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, you're here this morning in your sins, God is speaking to you today to come to Him and let Him renew your life and transform your life into something beautiful. The Apostle Paul, look at, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or let me read it to you. It's not hard to find. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. He gives a roll call, I believe, of the damned. He said, look here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, don't you know that they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists all those who will not be in the kingdom. And he said, idol worshipers. He said, if you worship idols out there, you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you something. Idols is anything that you put before Jesus Christ. Anything you put before Jesus Christ. Could be your house, could be your husband, could be your wife, could be your car, could be your money. Anything you put before Jesus Christ. Back in those days, they built a lot of idols. And they worship them. Today, we don't build idols and set on our mantle boards and things like that, but we put them in our garage. We put them in our yards. We have all kinds of idols out there. And he not only says that, he says adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, material things or materialists, drunkards, all kinds. He says these will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something. He puts liars and everything else in there. And it looks kind of dim, don't it? As I read that, I thought, man, I don't see any hope at all. But Paul says, and such were some of you. Right under that. He says, you know what? He's talking to Christians here. And he says, these are the ones that are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, and such were some of you. He may be talking to you this morning. God says, such were some of you. I don't know, man. I was lost growing up without Christ, separated from God. And I thought about this. I was lost. I was an idol worshiper. I really was a little thief one time. I stole a piece of bubble gum. I was in that group. But praise God, one day in a revival, on a Friday night at Eastside Baptist Church, when the preacher was talking about salvation, the Holy Spirit was talking to my life. And he said, you have tried religion, you've tried good works, but you're still lost. And such were some of you, but now he says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Paul says, listen, some of you were lost. Some of you were doing these things. But now, through Jesus Christ, you have transformed. You've been sanctified. You know what that means? Set apart, justified, just as if you've never sinned. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Listen, this tells me, when I read this and I see idol worshipers, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, all of that, I think to myself, you know what? Praise God, there's no person so great an outcast that God can't redeem him. God can't save him. That means God can save anyone who will just come to him and say, Lord, I need you in my life. God's got a grace greater than all my sins. I love that song. His transforming power saves to the uttermost those who will come to him. So there's a broad application here. If you look at this passage of Scripture, he will save all those who will come to him. Then there's a specific limitation. If any man be in Christ, he does not say if any man goes to church, does he? Man, I'm so glad that I'm able to come to church. I was just teasing when Brother Howard, I said, I don't really feel like being here sometimes, but I'm always here. Not because I get paid to do it, it's because I love to come to church. But that doesn't get you saved, does it? It says, if any man be in Christ, not if any man be in church. It doesn't say if any man be baptized. It doesn't say if any man belongs to the Baptist church or any other denomination. It's very specific here. He says, if any man be in Christ, that is the only way that you can be reconciled to God, is come through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're lost, it does you no good to try religion. It won't get you to heaven. It's no good to try. Well, I've been baptized. It doesn't do any good. I've known some people that even have gone to church and took off on mission trips and said, well, you know, I've been out in mission field. Surely that will save me. No, it doesn't. I've known preachers who've preached for years, and then one day they got saved. God just transformed their life. They realized they were lost without Christ. Friends, I am not recommending religion to you, but I am recommending our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to you. It's the only way that you can be a new man for a new year. It's the only way we can start off this year right. We must be in Christ. We must be born again this morning. You must be reconciled to God. Our old world doesn't need more religious people. Our world is full of religious people. There's all kinds of religions out there. Man, I've seen some weird religions out there. But they do not save you. Jesus came to the Jews, who were among the world's most religious people at the time. And to the Greeks and Roman world, that was, you know, they filled their streets and lines, their paths with temples. Rhonda and I and a few others got to go over to Jerusalem. It's a couple of years ago now, I believe it was. I never will forget that trip. It's a wonderful trip. And we stopped at a place where they have dug up an old city. And the streets are marble. And all along those streets, they found these big towers of gods. And they would walk those streets and they would look at those gods on both sides. You know, I just kind of walked down through there and I thought, how could one believe that that marble stone was going to get them anywhere? But they did. They believed that. What the world needs is not more religious people or religion or things like that. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. And I've said it over and over again, if you want to start out right, Christianity is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you have Jesus this morning? Do you know Him this morning? He came to a lost world. He came to a sick world. You know, the world when He came was a very sick world. It was doomed. And I think about our society. I think about, you know, America has been blessed. America is one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. It has more blessings poured out upon it, I believe. We've had more technology poured out upon us, and it's been blessed by God. And we've had people here that knew how to use that. And it's multiplied. Man, I was just thinking the other day how far we've come since, I don't know, 1960. I can remember growing up, I didn't even have a television set in the house. I remember our first going down to my cousins. My aunt worked for Sears and Roebuck, and they got a black and white TV. And I can remember going down there on Saturday morning, sitting down with Bob, and we watched Roy Rogers. We watched Gabby Hayes. And man, I thought, man, this is great. Boy, I was thinking the other day, now we've got communication skills. We can talk to anybody, anywhere, all over the world. We can see them, you know, through our cameras, through our telephones. Man, we've come a long way. All of this, just a short time. Jesus Christ came to a world that was just like ours, booming with technology, but we're sick. We pull ourselves away from God, haven't we? We thought, well, since we've got so much technology, man, we can be like God ourselves. And I believe with all my heart we've said that we really don't need you anymore, God. I've talked to people, I've knocked on the doors, I've asked them at Walmart and different places about Jesus Christ, and we don't need him. We can live our life without that. We don't need your church. We don't need Christ. It's sad to see people in that kind of condition, but that is a symptom of the society that we live in. And Jesus Christ came because he wanted us to have life, eternal life. Christianity is that person of Jesus Christ. And it says in him, we can be a new person. We can be a transformed person. So, it goes to all the world. Everywhere, to every person, but we have to be in Christ. And then there's a grand implication here. Look what it says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Some translation says a new creature. In what way is a man made a new creature, a new creation or a new creature in Christ? Well, I know one thing. It wasn't the outward appearance, was it? Now, when I was saved in 1975, I came down the aisle and I became a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Nothing changed on the outside. I still look the way I always look. When a man or a woman comes to Christ, he still lives in the same old body. He still lives in the same old house. He still works at the same old job. He still struggles. We talked about this morning. With the same old problems. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of problems. I struggle with them. I'm kind of like Paul. I struggle with them every day. I have to get up in the morning and I say, God, you know, I can't make it through this day without you. I can't make it through this day without being critical. I can't make it through this day without becoming angry unless you do something in my life. It's hard, isn't it? You ever face things like that? Be honest with yourself. You see, that's an old man in you. But praise God, I become new in Christ Jesus. When I accepted Jesus Christ, he sealed me with the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit in your life? You've got to ask Christ to come into your life. The Bible says when you do that, by faith, he will seal you with his Spirit. Now, that simply means I have a new spirit inside of me. It's Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Now I have an old nature and a new nature. And there's that conflict, Brother Perry. There's that battle going on in every person's life. Now, Brother Perry said good this morning, if you don't have Christ, you are dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You need Christ to become alive. How then are people made new? The difference is the inner change. It's not the outward change. What changed in Byron Jones in 1975? It wasn't the outside. It was my heart. It was Christ coming in to live in me. He changes my thoughts. Man, he gave me new desires. Not overnight. It takes time. New strength. You know, I find myself not doing things sometimes that the old devil has led me to do. I just say, no, that's not right. I find myself not lying. I find myself not wanting to cheat someone. I find myself not stealing. I have new values now. I have a hope now. And sometimes there's that outward change, but the essential change in a person's life is that inward change, you see. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of life about how you relate to Jesus Christ. And folks, it is possible to be a new person in Christ Jesus. I remember the Apostle Paul. When Apostle Paul was going down to Damascus, there was a change come over him. You remember the story? He was going to persecute Christians. He wanted to slay them. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to stamp out the cause of Christ. But when Christ came into his life, he changed his attitude about Jesus Christ. He was a new person. And the Lord continues that transforming work until we die. Folks, he's there working on me. I like that song. I'm not what I used to be. Praise God, he's still working on me. He's still working, chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. And one day, when he calls me home, I'll have that perfect body. I'll have that perfect life. But not until that very day. But folks, I thank God that I don't do what I used to do. I thank God I'm not the person I used to be. And that's how I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is in my life, because he has changed me. He's transforming my life. And that promise is to be in Christ. We are a new creation. And that was not only to Paul, that is to each one of us in here today. If you will simply come to Christ, he'll start changing your life little by little by little. And Paul ends his teaching with a great plea. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Folks, if you want to be a new person for the new year, you've got to come to Christ. You want to have a happy new year. I don't know what that means to the world. Have a happy new year. I think that's just the same. But you know what? If you really want to have a happy new year, it has to be in Christ. For you know, Jesus Christ is the joy. The angel says, I bring great joy in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be great this year to be transformed, to be someone new, to have a happy life, to change this old body? We exchange our sins for his righteousness. That's how we can be a happy man or a man for a new year, is to be transformed into Christ. I said earlier, some of you are here this morning and you're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ. The first thing you need to do is by faith say, okay, I realize that I am lost. I realize that I'm without Christ. I want to come. By faith, step out and come. By doing that, you're acknowledging, listen, I want Christ in my life. That's just simple childlike faith. Trusting Jesus. And then ask him to come into your life, and he will. And he will start changing the way you do things, the way you look at things. No longer, well, if you're lost this morning, you probably got up and you really didn't want to come to church. But because your mother or because your father or because your husband or because your wife said, let's go. You got up. You begrudgingly got dressed. And you came to church. Now, next Sunday, when you accept Jesus Christ, you'll be the one that gets up and says, hey, let's go to church. I found something new in Christ Jesus. You see? That's the transforming work of Christ. He will change your life. You know, after I got saved, my wife didn't have to say, let's get up and go to church anymore. It was just, let's go. We knew where we was going on Sunday morning. We knew we was going to live for Christ in our life. We knew we was going to bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord. You see, everything changes in Christ Jesus. And if you don't have Christ in your life, would you come to Him this morning? Would you accept Him by faith this morning and start living for Him? Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. You don't have a church home, and this is the place God has led you. I tell you what, there's plenty of work in this town for us to do for Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to make that decision to live for Christ. Would you do it? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for the work that You've done in our lives this past year. And Lord, we look expectingly towards next year. Lord, we just want to let You change our lives day by day. We give You all praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand and would you come?